I went into the shade of the great roof over the canal and sat on a stack of wooden pallets, then took out the Cartabla and figured out how to use its interface. This took longer than I'd expected, because it wasn't made for literate people. I couldn't make any headway at all with its search functions, because of all its cack-handed efforts to assist me. "Where the heck is Bly's Butte?" I asked Archibald when he showed up. It was half an hour before midday. About half of the Evoked had arrived. A small fleet of fetches and mobs had begun to form up. Stolen, borrowed, or donated, I had no idea.
"I anticipated this," Archibald said.
"Bly's relics are all at San Edhar," I reminded him.
"Were," he corrected me.
"Excellent. What did you steal?"
"A rendering of the Butte as it appeared 1,300 years ago."
"And some of his cosmographical notes?" I pleaded.
"No such luck."
Archibald's face was all curiosity.
"Why would you want Saint Bly's cosmographical notes?"
"Because he ought to have noted the longitude and latitude of the place from which he was making the observations."
Then I remembered we had no way to determine our longitude and latitude anyway.
But perhaps that information was entombed in the Cartabla's user interface.
"Well, perhaps it's all for the best," Archibald sighed.
"What?"
"We are supposed to go directly to Saint Tredegar's. Bly's Butte is not between here and there."
"I don't think it's that far out of the way."
"Didn't you just tell me you don't know where it is?"
"I have a rough idea."
"You can't even be certain that Orlo went to Bly's Butte. How are you going to persuade 17 Avout to make an illicit detour to search for a man they anathematized a few months ago?"
"Archibald, I don't understand you. Why did you bother stealing Bly's relics if you had no intention of going to find Orlo?"
"At the time I stole them," he pointed out, "I didn't know it was a Convox."
It took me a moment to follow the logic. "You didn't know we'd be coming back."
"Correct."
"You reckoned after we got finished doing whatever it is they wanted us to do,
we could find Orlo and live as ferals."
That was all interesting. Sort of poignant, too. It did nothing, however, to solve the problem at hand. "Archibald, have you noticed any pattern in the lives of the Saints?"
"Quite a few. Which pattern would you like to draw to my attention?"
"A lot of them get thrown back before everyone figures out that they are Saints."
"Supposing you're right," Archibald said. "Orlo's canonization is not going to happen for a long time. He's not a Saint yet."
Beg pardon,"
said a man who had lately been hovering nearby with his hands in his pockets.
"Are you the leader?"
He was looking at me. I naturally glanced around to see what fresh trouble Barb and Jad had gotten into. Barb was standing not far away, watching some birds that had built their nests up in the steel beams that supported the roof. He had been doing this for a solid hour. Jad was squatting in a dusty patch, drawing diagrams using a broken tap as a stylus. Shortly after we'd arrived, Fra Jad had wandered into the machine hall and figured out how to turn on a lathe. Cord's ex-boss almost had attacked me. Since then, both Jad and Barb had been reasonably well-behaved. So why was this extra asking me if I was the leader? He didn't seem angry or scared, more lost. I guessed that by pretending to be the leader, I could make a few things go my way, at least for a little while, until they figured out I was faking it.
"Yes," I said. "I am called Fra Erasmus." "Oh, good to meet you. Furman Beller," he said,
and extended his hand a little uncertainly. He wasn't sure if we used that greeting. I shook his hand firmly, and he relaxed. He was a stocky man in his fifth decade.
"Nice Cartabla you got there."
This seemed like an incredibly strange thing for him to say until I remembered that extras were allowed to have more than three possessions, and that these often served as starting points for small talk. "Thanks," I tried. "Too bad it doesn't work." He chuckled.
"Don't worry, we'll get you there."
I guessed he was one of the locals who had volunteered to drive us.
"Say, look, there's a guy over there wants to talk to you. Didn't know if we should, you know, let him approach."
I looked over and saw a man with a black stovepipe on his head, standing in the sun, glaring at me. "Please send someone over," I said.
"You can't be serious,"
Archibald hissed, when Furman was out of range.
"I sent for him. How would you go about sending for an Ida?
I asked Cord to do it for me.
Oh, is she here?
He asked in a new tone of voice. I'm expecting her and her boyfriend to show up at any minute, I said, and jumped down off the stack of pallets. Here, figure out where Bly's Butte is. I handed him the cartabla.